back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. All of these wise conversations are brought to you by our friends at Wise Markets. And Rob Santoni is going to be coming on. I have the latter remnants of the Wise eggnog in my Rofo coffee this morning. I have my coal roofing mug out, which probably means that Bill Cole cannot be too far away. Dude, I did not get like an old lang syne with you last week. Some weeks we meander and go 48 minutes and entertain the troops, and some weeks we're just sort of like, hey, COVID took over, the holidays took over. Incidentally, this was my big topic that I wrote down that I wanted to talk to you about today. When is it okay to take the tree down? Is there like an official time for that and stop the holiday music? Because I sort of, Mariah Carey's been gone like a week and I already miss her. You know, I bring her back, you know?
So, good to be with you. I do feel like it's been a little bit of a time, but that's probably not true. That's just how fast the world is spinning. So the tree and the music are the first to go for us. Mostly because we are neglectful of our tree and scared to death it's going to catch on fire. So, you know, it's dry, the needles are falling. It's like, that thing's got to go.
I live in a building, by the way, where they put signs up in elevators, and there's a big sign up, we have bags for your tree. Come get one, put it in the bag, tell the front desk, don't try to stick the tree down the chute, you know, don't be an idiot. But people don't know how to handle their trees, you know what I mean, right?
So that and the music, this was a fun music year. Me and my daughters, I mean, we generally like music.
Oh, it's a connection for you and your daughters. Good. Okay. Excellent.
It is. And we found, I'm going to forget her name, Lindsay Sterling.
Okay.
So I had never heard of her. I was just kind of looking for, like, I can't believe that no one makes new Christmas music.
No, that's not true, dude.
I know it's not. I had to go investigate.
And listen to this Music Choice channel, and there's all, like, I've heard a bunch of really good modern Christmas songs that I tap my toes to, and I still want some Bing and some Gene and some, you know, and some Frank, and, you know, I mean, I want all of that, but dude, I'm a holiday music guy. I think I discovered that this year, that's bigger to me because we don't do the gifts anymore, and the tree doesn't, my wife got stranded in New Hampshire, didn't get home till the 26th. My mother dead, my father's dead, my kid doesn't care, you know, so like it really is a little bit of you know, the spirit of it isn't this thing where we all sit around and have a ham and it's the Waltons at my house, because it just it really was never that way to begin with. If you really want to go back to my childhood and how many times the cops showed up and my Venezuelan family was at odds with my you know, the alcoholic side of the other family and the Dundalks. Right. Dude, I lived that in 1970.
Holidays bring out the best in us.
Yeah, I mean, literally. I mean, so I grew up in a really effed up sort of environment for that. But I've always, you know, my wife has a beautiful family in New Hampshire. It's cold as hell and it's snowy and it's, you know, aunts and uncles and like Polish food and, you know. But I would say for me with it, the biggest thing is the spirit. And I used to, dude, I miss the Christmas parties. I miss seeing you twice during December because we bump into each other because we're out every night getting fat, eating cookies. I mean, I definitely miss that.
Sure. No, it continues to be weird. And I mean, maybe that's the, so one thing I wanted to offer is in the spirit of like a new year, I believe that I tend to be a very negative person when I project out. I'm actually a really optimistic person, but my nature is to like point out all these concerns and problems.
Like a journalist. When I ask John Harbaugh a tough question, it's not I dislike John Harbaugh. I'm just looking for an answer, right? Like, so when you're challenging things, right? Like you challenge something to try to make it better, whatever it is, right? Maybe.
I don't know what it is, but in the spirit of this being Baltimore Positive, I just wanted to clear up with you. Like, I can try and just be positive all the time when we talk in the spirit of the name and the brand. I don't want to be detracting from the brand here because I'm like raising concerns or being negative about stuff. Because I'm generally pretty negative right now. Like I'm pretty annoyed with the universe.
Well, okay. I mean, and I understand that. Bill Cole from Cole Roofing's here. Obviously, by the way, I see more solar panel stuff. You're not the only one doing solar panels these days, right? Like I'm seeing more and more of that. So that's Gordian energy. I see you. We're friends in real life, and you know, a part of I bear the responsibility of having Baltimore Positive because of you. But we get together at these events like Accelerant, and I know you put a lot of effort into that. A lot of folks put a lot of effort into that, and local business leaders, where we all get together and exchange ideas and optimism to some point, and business cards, and hey, how can I help your business, and you can help me. That's the way. That's the way our country was built, right? Like, you know, Paul Revere straight on through, right? But when we start canceling these things again, and we're 3 years into this, and I got my first cancellation from you, the world is obviously running inside. I mean, it's so bad that Hogan will actually come out and have a press conference. Not mandate that you should do things like, you know, wear an N95 that my wife got a box of the other day. I got a really good orange one to wear for opening day, incidentally. I would say this for
that's
me.
That's a statement that we should never have to say. You know,
there is no opening day. There is no season. They don't go to their website.
I mean, I got a really cool orange N95 that I can wear to opening day. Like to me,
if they decide to play and get off of whatever labor dispute they're in, that I'm not interested in anymore.
Right. It's just fundamentally we failed as a society that, you know, we can't do opening day without an N95. Like that's just disappointing to me.
Well, people didn't take the vaccine. Like, period, right? Like we're a divided nation so much so that Russians and whoever got into the mainstream of people that vaccines are bad. Whatever.
Yeah, it's pretty disturbing.
Yeah.
It's disturbing. I mean, it was like I texted my wife yesterday.
Oh, and the election was rigged too, because it's the same. If you get the Venn diagram, it's the same person, right? It's become a cult, obviously. I mean, so much so that the people that speak out about it are dying, right? You know, every day you read of someone who was the anti-vaxxer, the Trumper, then they're dead now. And now we got the hospitals full again. So, yeah, so Baltimore Positive. Happy New Year to you too, Cole. Thanks for coming on.
My concept yesterday was I text him, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Groundhog Day. It's like I'm back in my office wearing my mask watching Hogan in a presser talking about, you know, a pandemic, and it's like this is COVID 3.0. I mean, and what I can't, I try to process the emotional side. Like, we're so influenced by the media, right? And we know that the media is driven by viewers, clicks, whatever. So you're always, you got this, we're aware now to be skeptical that they sincerely.
How many times every night I see the word chaos on my screen?
Yeah.
Like chaos is right. That's the word.
So you're skeptical, which is good. I think, you know, healthy skepticism. And what I'm trying to do is detach the emotion from it and say, okay, yes, there was a time period when I can remember having discussions with my leadership team that the numbers were over 1,000 a day positive. This doesn't look good. You know, let's make sure our policies and what we're doing for our people is in alignment with a rising tide. I looked the other day, maybe 2 or 3 days ago, we're like over 13,000 a day. So like perspective is interesting. And what they don't talk to me about, because I'm not on the National Scientific Council or whatever it is, and somebody's having these discussions, if 13,000 people get it as opposed to 1,000, and I know those numbers aren't right, you know, whatever, that those are just test numbers, but meaning more people have it, they just didn't go get tested or whatever in both scenarios. And people are dying, but the dying isn't pacing with the contraction, right? Like the mutation, oh yeah, okay, Omicron, more contagious, less lethal. Okay, I can appreciate that, right?
Like, but it's still lethal.
Sure, I know, well, but lots of things are lethal, right? We as a society come to a collective decision about what risks are okay and which ones aren't. I've said it a million times over 2 years about driving, right? Like we all collectively know that if we all drove 10 miles an hour, no one would ever die in a fatality in a car accident. You know, no one would die. We don't. We drive 75 miles an hour, you know? So that is a collective risk that we have all accepted. No one is speaking to that to help us all collectively come to even though.
Well, the idea 2 years ago, we were going to sacrifice no one. We were going to lock down and keep the world safe. And like South Korea did, and we're going to monitor where people go who are sick. We're going to sequester them. We're going to squelch out the virus. We're going to kill the virus because it won't have humans to infect by sitting in a room for 14 days. Nobody moves. Everybody freezes. Everybody that's sick is over there. Everybody that's okay is over here. We all come out. We smell fresh air. The virus is over with. We couldn't get a buy-in on that, bro. Like, seriously, that was the pandemic handbook handed down for 50 years that Anthony Fauci 2 years ago and everybody else in the scientific community. It's the way China tried to handle it when it got out of Wuhan, right? I mean, white suits, Willy Wonka, Mike TV, the whole deal, right?
I get that, but we know that that is not an executable plan in our country, right?
Correct. We're not smart enough for that. We don't have enough people that understand science here.
We're too free for that. It's just like
The country basically paid everybody to stay home when they shut down. I mean, I got PPP money, you know, the whole deal, right? Like we made it through that part of it. And I know not everybody was fortunate, right? But making it through that part of it. But, you know, at some point, to your point, if you don't beat the virus, shame on, us, right? Literally.
It's built into our DNA, right? This freedom concept. And you're never going to be able to manage that. It's the same risk reward scenario that we go through around terrorism.
But dude, dinosaurs didn't do science on this. We're friggin' human beings. We did science on this, right? So like dinosaurs went away because they couldn't figure it out. And this is a little different.
I don't know. I don't know that it is, because the concept of freedom is that some people are going to use that freedom to do dumb stuff. You know, we don't have a 50-foot wall all the way around our entire country keeping the rest of the world out. And we know that that allows bad actors to come here. We know that there are bad actors in our country, but we don't, you know, we argue about how much we monitor people and whether they're listening to your conversation because we're trying to keep people safe. But that's an infringement on our freedom. It's the same thing, right? We've been arguing this.
I just want to argue this point because I don't ever jump into your politics. But the terrorism in this country that's happened since terrorism really has taken over, which is basically when everybody got a gun about 18 years ago, right? Like this century, I would venture to say 98% of the terrorism that happens in this country is Americans on Americans.
Well, that's fine. Yeah. Regardless of who the terrorist is, terrorism is able to operate because we respect individual freedom. Because if the government was up your ass, they would know if you had bad intentions. But we built a constitution to try and prevent them from being up your ass. I'm not trying to take this political. I'm trying to assess the mindset of our country, our people, so that we can properly work in this world, because the world's different.
But to speak to leadership, to have a governor come out and basically say, I can't mandate or enforce the masks, but not fully say, I really want you to wear a mask. I mean, I remember the Italian leaders when this thing started 2 years ago. The Italian leaders went crazy trying to get their people to wear a mask because you think you're free. Imagine, you know, growing up in Milan. You know what I mean? They're free there too, right? Everybody's free. But trying to get leadership down with polio in this country, you know, or going to war, which we've done plenty of during my lifetime and our parents' lifetime, to get people together on something. That this, the togetherness to beat the virus is really, really difficult when I got jackasses online 2 years ago telling me there is no virus, that this is a hoax, because some orange maniac told him that. I mean, like, a hoax. There were people, there's still people on this, flat earthers, that this isn't really a thing, and we're putting chips in our arms when we're, by the way, I get my booster on Friday, so stay away from me till next Friday.
Like, let me set aside the
conspiracy theories?
I don't know.
But that's where it's led, Bill.
I was gonna
Bill, it's led by conspiracy theories, really. It's not led by science.
Slightly off their rocker. How's that, right? Like,
fair
like
enough.
Let's set them aside. Let's set them aside for half a second. My personal experience, right? My youngest tested positive. So we isolate as well as we can, right? But not, I mean, we certainly were not really effective at that. The other three of us didn't get it. She had a stuffy nose and a sore throat for a day, and that was it. I know, and she was she's unvaxxed. I know that is not, I am smart enough to comprehend that is not typical for everyone's experience, right? But that is my personal experience. And then I look at this guy at work and that guy over there and this kid on the basketball team and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I mean, my kids were sicker two different occasions in the last 20 months where we thought, like, oh, this is it. They got it. And we take them, they test negative. It was just a nasty cold. That was nastier than this. So I am able to like separate those two concepts and just know that, hey, we were lucky she had a really mild case, you know, whatever, and we were lucky that nobody else got it and all that, and that this is still serious and we still have to defend against it. But I don't know that the mass of population in this country can, you know, separate personal experience and know that that's a, you know, maybe not the rule but the exception.
I'm just fortunate to have a lot of people in my life, right? So like in my life, I've had so many people with it. I have friends that still can't taste stuff. I have friends that have definitely lost parents. I have a friend that lost both of their parents to it. You know, so like the amount of respect I have to have for it. And my wife and I were very, very sick 2 years ago, like this time when we came back from Asia, and we kind of think we had it. Right. I mean, it was too early to even know. I mean, my wife's convinced she had it, but that doesn't mean you don't get it again. Right. So, you know, there's, and now I'm not triple vaxxed, right? So I'm getting my third shot on Friday, and it took me 10 days to get in the queue. You know, I mean, if I was obsessed with running around on New Year's.
That's bullshit. Oops. Sorry.
That's fine.
That's so stupid. Like, you go on TV 58,000 times a day telling people to get vaccinated, and then when you try and get a booster, it's, like, not easy. Like, what is that? How is that even possible? All these people are trying to get tested, and there's four-hour lines around the block.
Well, we have really, really – we have failed so dramatically – on anything that's even like remotely normal as I sit here. So Bill Cole's here. Is there anything else you got on this?
I guess my question to you is, you know, I'm still trying to process it. And it's this concept of creating rules that feel logical, that seem logical, which means people are likely to follow them. And that follow what we're seeing, meaning that people's parents are dying, people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever, can have severe cases, but don't die, and that the kids don't really get severe cases.
Oh, or you could be Aaron Rodgers and you just lie about it, then contract it, then lie about it some more, then come back and play football and they give you the MVP and you go on Joe Rogan and you talk about how, you know, this is all a hoax and this is, I read Ayn Rand, you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole loud voice out there that there wasn't in 1947 for polio in this country. You know what I mean? Like, and it's to some ears credible in the same way that's the thing about Trump. As we are a year into the insurrection, he's still credible to some of these people. Like, that's the part that I mean, even if you voted for him and you backed off of it and you said, all right, maybe it wasn't so good, and maybe, but to still be all in on it 5 years later and a year after an insurrection that we still haven't put him in prison for, the people that are on the hoax thing and on the anti-vax thing, they always have a wing of the Joe Rogan tree or Hannity, or somebody's telling them that they're right, even though all these people are dying around them, and then they want to kill Anthony Fauci. You know what I mean? Like, they're further dug in on...
I get it, but don't you just have to ignore that to some degree at this point, or like be dismissive of it and focus on the people who seem to be operating in what appears to be common sense?
But when, like, Larry Hogan has to come and shut the state down and Johnny O has to put a mask on everybody and I have to cancel my lottery, next week, my crab cake tour, because we can't go inside.
But why? That's my question to you. Do you believe that?
I believe, you know why? Here's the answer. The hospitals are full. That's why. Your wife cuts her finger in the kitchen and hits a tendon and you got to get her to the hospital. She can't get in. That's the grown-up answer that I would give anybody. That's why.
I appreciate that. That's a good perspective.
Are we listening to our doctors? Are we listening to our teachers? We have school bus drivers that have so much COVID they can't drive kids to school. So like that, this is going to be this month, and the level of tolerance that I have to go sit in a room and be left alone for a little while, I'm good with it. It's different for you trying to manage kids and band camp and basketball. And I mean, I've got Super Bowl plans in 4 weeks to go to LA. I'm like, it's like laughable that like I still have held the flight, like that I'm really going to go out there and wear my Maryland Lottery mask and sit in Hollywood in a ballroom while rock stars come in, sit 6.5 feet away from me wearing a mask. And I'm going to do Baltimore positive from there during the Super Bowl. Right. There's that's happening.
Almost as cool. I'm supposed to go to New Orleans for a roofing convention in a couple weeks.
Right. That
is,
and you know, that's not happening.
It's still booked. Yeah. But my question is, like, who are we? We still are trying to protect everyone in the same way. And doesn't that not match? Like, okay, either talk about that or hit the hospital thing, because
this is a typical American thing where we think there's no consequences for being jackasses. You know, there's no consequence for not wearing a mask. That Joe Rogan's a god. Trump's my leader. Take my mask off. We're all in it. Let's go. Whoever dies, dies. Survival of the fittest, and I'm fit. Right? So great. Now we're 2 years into this. The hospitals are full. Now the politicians have to come out, especially the Republicans, tail between their legs and say, well, it'd really be nice if you put a mask on. I can't make you because you're free and you voted for me and I'm free and you gave me money. So I'm not going to make you put a mask on. But, man, I hope nothing happens to you or your family today, because the ambulance might not come. And if it gets there, I got no place to take you. And I'm looking around at who the leader is. Oh, and it's me. So I'm telling you, put a mask on, because the hospitals are full. That's not bullshit. Find a nurse, find a doctor, find anybody in the medical community, and they will tell you this is really bad. This is a bad situation. And this was the end result of we're all free. Whatever happens, happens. No, it doesn't work that way. They thought that in Montana until their hospital started getting filled up, right?
Yeah. I hear you. The hospital thing, like, I've been listening.
You managed to wake me up, dude. But I mean, I don't usually talk.
This is good.
This is serious.
I get it, it needs to be processed, because without the processing, people are just operating on their emotions, and they're freaking out, or they're not doing this, or they're.
Well, what are the consequences? That would be the question. What's the consequences of not wearing a mask? What's the consequences of getting COVID? What's the consequences of believing fiction? What's the consequences of not listening to doctors? Not listening to science. What's the consequence of that? The consequence of that is, oh, we're 23 months into this, and it doesn't feel like there's any end in sight to some eyes. To people like you that are running around trying to figure out a family and school and work and employees, I'm a little bit more independent. My wife and I like sort of work back and I do my thing. But it's a whole different thing for the rest of the society that has to that has to manage this, man, you know?
Yeah, the hospital thing. I through the pandemic, I've watched John
Shashir. I know John. John's been on the show.
GBMC, right?
Well, I know the people from the Maryland Hospital Association. Totally so when they started screaming last week and getting political, like they're screaming at the politicians who feed them in Annapolis to do something, and it takes Hogan, well, I'm not going to do anything on New Year's Eve because that would make me unpopular with the base, you know what I mean? And so we'll come out on Monday and we'll tell everybody not to get together and maybe put a mask on, but you're free because I got your back, so you don't really have to do it, but you know, we'll do it for the press conference. Like this this sham in the NFL. They sit the quarterback over here, they sit the sportscaster female with the pretty hair over here, they talk, and then the camera pans out and they hug each other. They get up and hug each other.
Yeah. I don't know.
Now, you want to talk football, Bill? You want to talk about Big Ben? What do you want to do?
I tell you what I want. It's really frustrating. So I believe I have like a pretty active imagination, and you know, you and I can get going in a entrepreneurial way, and we could talk about really great future plans, and you know, we've done a lot of that over the last 4 or 5 years, right? And it's fun, right? It's an energizing and it's good. The world has been in such a state for 2 years.
You're playing defense.
That it is almost impossible to think big, to see far out, to want to try to do something to create good in the world. It's just so hard and it's so tiring. I'm generally sick of it. And I'm trying to be a good person.
We're allowed to be cranky as we begin 2022. Bill Cole is here. He does roofing when he can get the parts, everybody else around here at this point. And you know, for me with the sports side of things, this is the last week that my wife and I are buying tickets for the Ravens game. I'm going to go into further detail on that at a time that I feel like I have the energy to tell the story. But Big Ben's coming to town, and dude, there were a lot of empty seats last week on the Rams thing, and this taste of like not having success, it sort of eats at a sports organization over the next 9 months. And I have no idea where the Orioles are at this point. I mean, their sport is shut down in the middle of this. So I go back into this pandemic thing, thinking of myself as Nasty Nestor sports guy, doing my 30 years of sports conversations. And, you know, Rod Woodson's in town last week and Sizzle's in town this week. And like, and I try to figure out what it all means all these years later. And when they're not, the lights sort of have gone off during the pandemic for a lot of people. And I talked to Marty Conway about this with the Terps and with things even further down the line, my partner's over copping and trying to manage people when you don't have the staff to have swab tests and like all the things that are going to be necessary. But the revenue side of all of this, college sports, this was their coming out party, right? Like all the kids were going to get paid and like all this stuff was going to happen. That's really dropped to the bottom of the pit for me in regard to interest, because it feels very intramural. I mean, even this Georgia-Alabama thing they're putting on this week, it feels like nothing's been normal sports-wise at all, especially these football games where, like, you wake up on Sunday morning, half the team has COVID and they're playing. It does feel like exhibition season again to me.
I mean, these are asterisk years probably, right? And I mean, like, I can't wait till 10 years from now somebody writes the book about, like, and I have not investigated nor have I cared enough to investigate, but like the whole extra year in college and the free transfers and how all these kids moved around and like built super teams and all this crazy stuff that went on. Like, there's a whole bunch to unpack there. Doesn't matter today. Not that interesting today, right? But 10 years from now for a sports fan, oh, yeah, remember that pandemic? Remember what they did then? Look at this. And all the cars that were given and the money that was, you know, like, there'll be some crazy stories to unpack. I don't know, Ness. Like, sports has been a declining thing for me. You know, with
God, and it sucks, doesn't it? Doesn't it suck when you lose and it doesn't hurt?
I think it sucks that my life doesn't afford me like this 8-hour window where I can just go do that and enjoy it and be in the moment. Now I'm like worried about making it to her soccer practice after the game. We got to get back and blah blah blah. And I, you know, I got to be prepared on Monday. Like, I can't be hungover on Monday. I can't have it like that on Sunday. So it's just different. So it was already evolving. The pandemic, yeah, it just totally sucks the life out of it. I mean, we knew 2 years ago, oh man, this is going to change the world. And all along the way, every day, they tell us the different things that have already happened. The acceleration of e-commerce and blah, 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 and all this other crap. We have no idea at this point how much our world is going to change. Like, you can't even see it. And it just chips away and it pivots. Like, massive change is happening. Political change, economic change, all of it is
climate now, change is definitely happening.
The whole thing. The 2020s will be one of those decades that was like massive change, pivoting of our country, of the globe, I guess.
You know what I would say right then? I'd say, Bill, I tell everybody put their seatbelt on, but then they would say, well, then I'm not free if I put my seatbelt on.
Now we got over that.
Bill Cole is here. He is Cole Roofing and Cordy Energy, even though I'm wearing my Costas Inn shirt. Dude, I hope we get a crab cake together soon. I mean, I really do, because like the notion that we were going to get on a bus together and go to Indianapolis and see a game, or go to Buffalo, or you know, maybe even watch a game together at Costas and knock a crab open and, you know, watch a Terps game on a Tuesday night as they take on Wake. That's right. They don't play them anymore. But, you know, the things that we used to do, I do hope that, and I was thinking about this morning as sort of I looked out into the darkness, because I live downtown and I'm about to leave downtown, and these views that we've had have been magnificent every morning, and look at, it's sort of been inspiring all these years to create Baltimore Positive under that umbrella. But I looked out and I thought, man, places, I knew you were going to be a little dour today. I knew I was going to get a little dour, because I think when we start canceling stuff again and everything's getting canceled, and to your point, you know, Uncle Larry's up giving press conferences and getting votes and whatever, and the hospitals are full, which should be the message. The hospitals are full. If I'm going to have any that's why you should have gotten vaccinated. That I would say that 3 months from now, if we survive this and everything's cool, and I'm thinking about my own life and where I'm going and what I want to do and how I want to serve the world, that we'll wake up and it'll be 72 degrees one day in May, and the Preakness will be coming, and hopefully we all make it through that. But that's my vision. My vision of this is like, dude, we're in winter again, and these next 8 weeks, for the hospitals, for your plans, for my Eagles concerts in Florida that I have planned that I'm not going to probably, for, you know, the Pearl Jam tickets that have been sitting on my phone for 22 months now, playing the Royal Farms Arena, all of this stuff that I want to do, that I'm glad I did when I went to Merriweather last year. I'm glad I did the crab cake tour, and I did all the stuff I did in August and stayed clean doing it. And I'll find the beach to lay on at some point. But dude, I would say the next 8 to 10 weeks of winter here, and you know, wherever we're going with this thing and deaths and wherever Omicron is taking us, I would just say the next 8 weeks, hang in, because spring's coming. I am optimistic about that. I do believe restaurants will open again. We will get back to something normal. Things will, you know, but I think the next couple months are going to suck. I do.
So you, if I wanted to go have lunch with you right now, you don't think that's something you should do?
Do I think you and I should sit inside across a table, take our mask off and spittle on each other right this minute? No, I don't think it's a good idea, because too many people are getting COVID for me. For my timeline. I mean, just in my world, your kid.
I'm with you.
Like in your business, I mean, we're all connected to it at this point. This is the point we should shut down for 14 days, right? Like, this is where it was in the beginning to say, oh my God, it's everywhere. We were like, oh my God, it's everywhere 2 years ago when it was just sort of trickling in and we were trying to keep it from going everywhere. Now we're at the everywhere level and people are going to die. And they're going to be the unvaccinated people that are dying, which is exactly what the doctor said was going to happen 23 months ago.
This is going to make you go bonkers because this is one of the early things that people said when it was unfair to say it, but it might be okay to say it. Like, the common cold is everywhere too, right? And we build up immunity by getting it over time. So if Omicron is a very mild version of this, don't we all just want to get it now and get that immunity built up in our bodies in addition to my vaccine? Like, then I'm basically Superman, right? Like, COVID can.
If you ask me right now that I could get COVID this weekend or go roll my sleeve up over in Wise Avenue and take a shot, I hate shots. I watch my wife's like a hero, man. She's diabetic. She's shooting up 2-3 times a day. Right. I watch her pull needles out, stab herself in the middle of restaurants, pull her stomach up, pull her leg up, pull her arm up all the time. I get one freaking needle a year and I am a wuss. I mean, like, I'm going to hate it. I'm going to throb. I didn't get sick last time. The last two times I haven't gotten sick. So, but I am putting Saturday aside to potentially be sick. Like, literally,
I'm not telling you not to do that.
Dude, it's no fun getting shots. I freaking hate it.
I get it. Yeah.
But I also respect the science, and I don't want anybody killing Anthony Fauci.
Hold on. I know. I'm not saying not to do any of that. All I'm asking is if you operate in a slightly conservative way, meaning I don't go to the concert. Like, you said you're going to the football game. Well, because that's outside. Like, come on.
No, because I'm wearing a mask and I don't touch anyone.
Okay. So whatever. We all built our own.
Honest with you. I don't touch anyone. And I can't begin to tell you how many people I offend when I put my elbow up on them and be like, dude, you're not hugging my ass, because I know you're a hugger. Your molar's like this. I mean, I'm shocked. No offense to Molar, but like, he's up on everybody. And I'm like, dude, don't touch me. Like, you know, if you're the kind that I'm the guy you want to hug, you can French kiss me because I haven't touched anybody. Right. Like, literally. I mean, my wife came back from New Hampshire after rolling around up there. I'm like, man, dude, I don't want it.
I know.
And I'm 7 months out on a shot. I don't want it.
But your life with Jen and everything, like, you have different experiences than others. So we can understand that. All I'm getting at is, if we play it slightly conservative, but you end up with it and it's mild, as a society, we might, I need to understand if we're better off, right? Like, are we better off if everybody's got a little taste of it, you know? And yeah, you get knocked down for.
You're talking nonsense again, because the hospitals are full. Can I remind you of that? Go be the CEO of St. Agnes right now, Ed Laverne, who we had on a couple of weeks ago. I can't even get in touch. I mean, like, the notion that John Shashir is going to come on my show for 20 minutes and explain the same shit they've been explaining for 2 years to everyone about the consequences. That's where we're at, the consequence stage of the pandemic. That's really where we are. And I don't hear that word being thrown around on CNN or Fox or MSN. It's, oh, let's fight some more. No. This is the consequence of deciding that you're not going to respect the virus, period.
No. What I think it's trying to live with the virus. That's my question. Like, I'm not saying not to get vaccinated. Yes, you have to get vaccinated. Yes, get your booster. But those people are getting Omicron too. Like, they're just not in the hospital. So it's okay. That's okay. That's life. That's the world we used to live in. You would go around and you would get a cold and you would power through, right? In fact, we were so, like, not interested in public health that we would take that cold into work and make sure we shared it with all our coworkers, and they would all get the same cold. And then at the end of the season, everyone would have had the cold. My kids go to school. They, you know, school is like this bacteria snot land where all they do is share germs all day long. And then it builds up their immunity, so they are healthier as adults. Is that where we are, right? Because this variant is different. right? It's more contagious, less lethal. Is that where we are? We just need that. I just need, and look, they may be talking about that. I am definitely not going out onto Google trying to research it. Like, you know, you're at, I can't stomach it.
Well, we haven't listened to the doctors an iota in any of this. Have we really? Really?
I actually think we listened to the doctors more than we thought we would have in this type of scenario. So,
you imagine what an asshat you have to be to walk in front of a doctor who has spent their entire life in medical books and in entrenched in this, even if they're a quack doctor, like, I don't know, Rand Paul or somebody, but doing this for a living and going in and saying, but I think you're wrong. Like me saying, I cannot imagine with my wife hooked up to tubes 7 years ago, going into Dr. Keith Pratz and saying, dude, are you sure?
Right. No, that's the same. I love that example. Like people go to the doctor because they're sick. The doctor says, oh, roll your sleeve up. Let me stick this thing in. Oh,
dude, when you call a lawyer, when I call Mark Miller or Todd Schuller and I say to them, I have an issue. I got hit. I'm in an auto accident. I need you. Do I say to Schuller, are you sure? Did you read your law book? Because I read on the internet like something else. Like it's just –
right.
This reminds me of doing what I've done for 30 years, which is entertain the notion on Monday morning that you might have a better idea what's going on than John Harbaugh.
The coach, right. Listen, my concern or the challenge in the public health sphere is a doctor can only tell you the doctor side of it, right? Listen, Ness, we should all go home, close our doors. Let this thing burn out in 2 weeks. It's all good. But everybody has to go home. Everybody has to, you know, separate. Like we have to completely shut down. Okay, that is a doctor view. Then someone else has to say, yeah, but all the other consequences that come from that, are the consequences of that greater or less than the consequences of some people going home and not everyone going home, right? And that's the challenge of government in the public health sphere, right? Dr. Fauci tells you, you got to go home. We got to burn this thing out, shut the schools down, blah, blah, blah. We got a playbook. Use the playbook. And then somebody raised their hand and say, well, what about all the kids who are getting abused by their parents? You know, the only way we catch them is by having kids in schools. What about the emotional damage to the, you know, the other the wife, right, who's getting tossed around. We have no way of getting to her. What about the people that lose their jobs? What about the, and you know, and then everybody starts raising their hand. They're like, oh my gosh, okay. So we can't follow this playbook. We have to have a mix of
playbooks. The playbook was real simple, dude. Wear a mask. Stay 6 feet away, get a shot when it's available, get two shots when they're available, stay safe, wash your hands. That was pretty universal, right? I mean, we're still adhering to that. If I go to Wise Markets today, I don't get within 6 feet of anybody. I have a mask on. I haven't walked in a supermarket without a mask on in 23 months. I mean, because I'm respectful of people and it's not all that big a deal to wear a mask, even though it sucks in my eye, my glasses fog up. I've figured out how to maneuver all that, right?
Right.
I'm fatigued. I'm tired, but I'm also respectful of what it's done to our society and what it represents to go out and smell a 72 degree day in April or May and what it's going to take to get from here to there.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's pretty tough. I generally spend most of my time shocked that we're still talking about it.
Bill Cole is here. He is, we'll be positive next week. All right.
I am positive that the injuries of the Ravens have finally caught up with them.
Yes. Like, I'm positive that it's going to be a really weird offseason because of the age of the roster, because of the money they have sunk into people like Ronnie Stanley. They're not sure what's going to happen. And then there's the whole Lamar thing. I mean, from a business standpoint, whether he goes onto the field this week or it gets back out or whatever, this is a tough 8 months for the organization of the disappointment of what happened. And it's very incomplete for me. You know what I mean? Like, I think Harbaugh's done a great job. I think it's amazing they've lost games by a point or two. They played not just with a backup quarterback for now a third of the season. They played with a guy they walked in off the street who actually gave him a chance to win. Like, so there, it's been something to witness. It's been a fascinating season.
Lots of guys coming off the street. Tony Jefferson makes a miracle tackle. Like, that guy shouldn't have been there. He shouldn't even have been on the field. Yeah, no, all our running backs. Yeah, I mean, it's been fun. Other than we looked the other day, Miami was a bad one, and the two Cincinnati's were bad.
No, Cincinnati just they're a team that's getting better.
I understand. I'm just saying those three games were ugly. We're not in them. Other than that, my team's been in every game. You know, a couple bounces, things break a different way. Maybe we win. I mean, it's been fun. It's been worth watching. You know, there's guys there you're rooting for. Like, Mark Andrews is a pretty big stud. Like, you know, you got to love that guy, right?
Queen came on this year, showed something.
Yeah,
Bateman. Sure. Bateman's real, right? We see that.
I think our line is actually has the chance to be really good next year. Like, Bozeman at center, and
Bozeman's going to cost you money now all of a sudden.
I understand.
But Bozeman ain't cheap anymore.
Sure. If they're not there, they're not there. But I think you have the makings of some stuff. Bateman looks like he's going to be really good. I really like.
Oh, him. I don't think it's over for the Ravens, but I think they were really constructed to win this year. Sure. Had they stayed mainly healthy, had Dobbins played, had Peters played, had Humphrey not gone out. I don't even know that they needed to get Stanley back. If that was the one thing that never happened, and same thing with Boyle, that those guys were like maybe, maybe not or whatever. But if they could have played with the team they began the season with, like not the season. Let me go back a week, okay? Week three of preseason with the running backs, if they could have played with most of that roster, they were 8-3 without most of that, right? So that's the part that's disappointing to me. It's like when Leon Searcy got hurt and Jamal Blue was, you know, like it's you go back and you're like, well, we were constructed to do one thing and we didn't do it.
You got to have DBs to win, right? And that was a problem all year, you know, especially when you have young linebackers and like, you know, you have a good D-line, good corners, good safety, whatever. Your linebackers are kind of running and learning on the fly. As soon as, you know, those pieces start to fall apart. I don't know. Like I said, I think it was fun. I'm not mad at them. I'm actually, you know, in the old Baltimore spirit. Hey, let's show up. Let's see what we can make happen. That's great. They did great, right? They showed up every week.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Bill Cole's here. He shows up every day on a roof somewhere, putting up solar or doing things. And give everybody your spiel for 2022. Other than, you know, it's been a weird time for all of us.
2022 just seems like people are going to need to plan better, maybe a little bit farther ahead. We will be doing a lot of repairs on roofs because the material supply shortage crisis, whatever, means we need to plan 10, 12 months out. And usually people wait until the water is dripping in the building and then they're like, I need a new roof. And it's like, oh, okay, that is kind of not going to work like that. But, and then once we're able,
that's the parallel of the guy who's got COVID in the ER saying, please give me the vaccine now.
Yeah, sort of.
Now that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Wow. I don't know if I could be that critical.
I've seen water come through my roof. It ain't pretty. Trust me, you know.
And then once we get you in a position where we know that roof is in a good spot for 20, 25 years, then we can talk about putting solar up there, which has a return and, you know, creates a additional revenue stream for the commercial
product. Boy, I got your head spinning. Don't I now on like how vaccines are like roof prevention. I am Nestor. He is Bill. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We'll get back to crab cake touring and sportsing and Super Bowling and all that. We are Baltimore Positive.